We're holding Sama Hamadeh's last line. Mishnah says Simonei Ha'Oisva Nemnu, that the Simonim of what are kosher and non-kosher birds are not stated in the Torah, but the Chachamim gave us four Simonim that are listed in the Mishnah. The four Simonim, and we're going to learn about them now in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Beloi, you're telling me they're not listed in the Torah? V'hatanya, but we learn in a Braisa that they are derived from the Torah. Like this. The Pasuk said, the first bird on the list, now like this, you have a list of non-kosher birds in Parashas Shmini, and that list is repeated more or less word for word in Parashas Re'eh. Altogether, between the two, most of the birds on both lists are the same. You have a couple of differences, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, that's Samach Gimel. But the point is, though, that so you have altogether 24 types of birds that are not kosher, and the first one on the list in both places is Nesher. Nesher, by the way, the usual translation of Nesher is eagle. Tosfos over here discusses, and many, many other Rishonim discuss on various grounds, that it's probably not an eagle, because the Gemara is going to mention a number of physical characteristics that a Nesher has, and we look at an eagle and we find that it has seven. So therefore, for that and for a variety of other reasons, many, many Rishonim say that it's not an eagle. The general consensus among a lot of them is that it's some type of vulture, a Griffon vulture or some other type of large vulture that lives around Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so when we have first on the list there, Nesher, so what do we learn from that? The Nesher is meant to be, we use it for a binyan av. Ma Nesher miyuchod, what is different about a Nesher? She'ein lo etzba yaseira, it does not have an etzba yaseira. Now remember, we talked about in the Mishnah, and I'll tell again now, that for two of these simonim, Etzba Yaseira and Durdus, there's a number of opinions among Rishonim what it is. Etzba Yaseira, you have Rishonim who learn that it means the kind of thing where a bird has an extra toe sticking out in the back. That's the toes of many birds are shaped like that, where they have usually three toes facing forward, and then they have one toe facing backwards, like this or like this.
Kosher.
No, so that's one of the four simonim that we're talking about. In and of itself, that doesn't make it kosher. That's going to mean we're going to have a whole story about it. This is one of the four simonim. That's one of the problems with it being an eagle, because an eagle has such an etzba. On the other hand, the truth is that's a bit of a problem if you say it's a vulture as well, because vultures have it as well. All birds of prey do. So there's a number of different possibilities. Maybe it does mean that, but it has to be at least as long as some of the front toes in order to count as a toe. But then you have Rishonim who say that in general, etzba yaseira doesn't mean that anyway. It means that the middle toe of the front three toes is longer than the other one. In which case, yeah, an eagle does have that, but certain kinds of vultures do not. They have the three toes in front are more or less the same length. Anyway, that's the first one. So a Nesher does not have an Etzba Yaseira, according to whichever definition. The Zefek, it also doesn't have a crop, which is a pouch. We just said, a Nesher does not have an Etzba Yaseira. What an Etzba Yaseira is and what a Nesher is, those are the things that we have to figure out. An Etzba Yaseira, according to some Rishonim, means it doesn't have that toe sticking out and back. Good. So then, an eagle has an Etzba Yaseira sticking out and back, and it also has a front toe, a middle toe, that's longer than the other one. So according to either of those, those are reasons to say that the Nesher cannot be the eagle. Anyway, a Nesher does not have an Etzba Yaseira, the Zefek. It also does not have a crop, which is a pouch in the neck where it stores food temporarily, and it starts getting softened in there. The Ein Kukavani Niklaf, its stomach cannot be peeled, because in general you have the birds that eat harder food like seeds and whatnot have a Kukavan that has a very thick muscular layer and then a thinner layer inside of that that grinds up the food. Birds that eat meat or fish or whatever, which are softer, they don't need sort of thing, so they have a fairly thin-walled stomach, so therefore there's nothing on it that's peelable. The dirtus of oichel, and the fourth thing is that a nesher is dirtus and it eats. Where dirtus, again, you have like four or five explanations among the Rishonim what dirtus means. It means that Rashi explains that it picks up food with its claws, with its toes, and brings it to its mouth. Tosfos says can't be that, because chickens do that also. Sort of, and Atam says that dirtus means that it eats its prey while it's alive. And you have a couple of other explanations among the Rishonim as well, including that it holds down its food when it eats it. It holds it down with its claws, or another one is that it catches its food in the air. Anyway, whatever it is, according to those various definitions, a nesher, it does that. And tomei, and a nesher is a tomei bird. Ah, kol kayotze bei tomei, the same thing. Any similar bird, any bird that has similar characteristics would be tomei. Now, what do we mean similar characteristics? Rashi actually points out, as we're gonna go through the sugya, and the Gemara is gonna explain over here, among those 24 birds, there are actually no others that have all four of these characteristics as a nesher. All the other 23 non-kosher birds listed have one or two or three of these simanim. So what do you mean kol kayotzevai? So Rashi says it means anything else that would be in the nesher family. So in other words, you have the nesher, but nesher includes also various subspecies that can also be called nesher, even though they have slightly different characteristics. So we can be including those as well. Tosfos disagrees with that, because throughout the sugya, Tosfos learns that what it is basically Rashi and Tosfos are arguing. Is the list of 24 birds in the Torah exhaustive? Is it those are the only 24 that are not kosher, and in principle, if we knew what those 24 were, then we could eat any other bird in the world? Or is it that the Torah is listing those 24, but it's not to say there might not be others as well that have similar characteristics.
So what's the point of listing 24?
The point of listing 24, well, that's what we're going to develop in the sugya, why we need the whole list. But according to
Tosfos, why do we need the list in any case?
That's the point that we're going to go through. We're going to develop in the sugya. But Tosfos learns that it means once you have this list of 24, that allows you, based on that list, to figure out what are all the tmeim. The fact of the matter is, there are still more to Torahim regardless. Even if you say, like Tosfos learns, that let's say, okay, there aren't only 24. Let's say there are 30. Let's say there are 50, whatever. The fact is, you still have hundreds of other ones that are kosher. So therefore, regardless, the Torah lists the not kosher ones. But the reason why it lists that for these 24 is because those allow us, based on, once we understand that list and their physical characteristics, automatically we'll know from that what other ones also aren't kosher. But the point is,
why do we need them?
That's what we're going to develop in the sugya. But that's the point is, according to Tosfos, there can be other non-kosher birds that are not included in the list, and conceivably, some of them might be like the nesher that have all four of these characteristics. So we'd be including those. On the other hand, we also have, the Torah tells us, when it mentions tahor birds, there's only two birds that are explicitly listed in the Torah as kosher, and they are Torim and Bnei Yonah, which are brought as korbanos. So why does it mention Torim? The Torim, or the other way around, sheyesh lahan etzvi yaseira, they do have an etzvi yaseira, according to these various definitions, the toe that sticks out in back, or the front middle toe being longer. Vizepek, and they do have a crop. The kurkuban nipluf, the kurkuban can be peeled, the inner layer from the outer layer. The zephyr? It depends. When the bird is just eaten, yes, you can see the zephyr bulging from the outside. The kurkuban nipluf, its kurkuban can be peeled, the ein dos and the oichlin, and turin do not do dirtus according to any of these various definitions. They're
in flight
catching or holding it down with its talons while it's eating, or eating its prey live, or picking it up with its claws and putting it to its mouth or whatever. Yeah. So it doesn't do those things. Therefore, we learn from that any birds that are similar to that don't have any of these four characters, that do or don't, as the case may be, whatever, have these four characteristics that are more like turd in that sense rather than the opposite of nesher, are tahor.
They're not carnivorous things.
They're not dirt. The point being, in other words, that so far, first we're dealing with just understanding the words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said there's no synonym of an oif in the Torah. The question is, this Braita tells us effectively there are, because you have the Nesher listed and you have Torin are listed, and by comparing and contrasting the Nesher and the Torin, we derive what the four synonym are, so that's as if it said in the Torah. So what do you mean it doesn't say in the Torah, Elamidivay Sechon? The answer is, Amar Abaya, right. Abaya says what it means is, Loinema Pirushan, Midivay Torah, Elamidivay Sechon. Fine, but it doesn't explicitly say it in the Torah in so many words. It's not like with animals where it says explicitly, chew its cut and have split hooves. Or like with fish, where it says explicitly fins and scales. By birds, it doesn't say. It mentions the nesher, and it mentions the Torah and the Torah, and Hashem left it for the Chachamim to figure out. So therefore, Lainem Pirushan, Medivre Torah, El Medivre Sofim. The explanation is only Medivre Sofim, but not the actual characteristics themselves are not listed in the Torah. Okay. Now let's start analyzing this list and seeing what the deal is. Okay, so we know that any bird that has none of these four simanim is treif, that would be like the nesher. We know that one that has all four of them is kosher, that's the Torah. What about in between? Tani Rabchia Torah Braisa, Oif Haba B'Simen Echad Tahar. If you have a bird that we find that has one simen, then it's tahor. Then it's kosher. Lafisha ein doim l'nesher.
Because it's three.
Meaning if it has at least one. But hold on. At least one. But hold on. Hold on. So it would be tahor. Lafisha ein doim l'nesher. Because it's not like the nesher. The nesher, the less like tahor, who's like tahor. The Torah is implying that only the nesher and things like it that have no simone tahor at all, you can't eat it. Implying that if you have a bird that has at least one simon, you could eat.
Such as what? So we have an example?
We're going to have examples as we go throughout the sugya. We're going to have examples of birds that have one simon, that have two simonim, and that have three simonim. It's going to be a bit of a complex sugya, and there are actually a number of different girsois and a number of different perushim that Rishonim have on it. So we'll have to keep our heads straight. Okay. So the question is, v'lo yilech mitorim. In that case, why are we learning dafka from the nesher and saying because the nesher has zero, therefore a bird is treif only if it has zero? Why don't you learn the other way around from torim? Ma torim de'ikah kula rabba. Torim are kosher and they have all four. You should argue the same thing. A bird is kosher only if it has all four simone tara. Where are you getting this idea that it can be kosher with even only one? The answer is in kid shar ofis the cost of rachmana lomali. In that case, you would have to say, well, why did the Torah bother with giving the rest of the list? After all, the Gemara is going to establish soon that among the other birds on the list, if the only thing that was osur is a bird that has zero simonim, if you were going to say that a bird is not kosher unless it has all four simonim, then there would be no reason to list the rest of them. All you have to do is list nesher, and automatically we would know that the same thing, a nesher has zero, but the same thing, zero is no good, one is no good, two is no good, three is no good, it has to be like totem and have all four. The fact that it gives a list means that it's not so simple to say that just because it has, that just means that we can say that once it has more than zero, so hold on. So far, we can say, in other words, we can't learn only from Torin and say anything that's not like Torin is trait, because otherwise it wouldn't have had to list the rest of them. Because you have some of the other ones have one or two or three simonim. So the question is, v'nei lach minayhu, in that case, then we should learn from them. Ma hosam tlosa v'layach linan. Just like in those cases, you have some of those birds have three simonim, three out of the four, and yet we're not allowed to eat them. The same thing should apply. Any bird that even has three simone kashrus, simone tara, you shouldn't be able to eat. B'chol shekein trei v'chad, how much more so if you have only two or you have only one? So maybe learn that way. Even if it has three, it's not necessarily good. Why is your Priya telling us even if it has only one already, it's good? The answer is imkain odav de kasa rachman alam. Yeah, but if that were the case, then why would the Torah have had to list the odav? The odav only has two simone tara. That's true, and the odav is in the list of non-kosher birds. The fact that the Torah goes
and list it.
Now, in fact, Tosfos says what it is that actually the Gemara could have answered like this. The fact is, as the Gemara is going to say soon, 19 out of these 24 birds, or 20, there's different geosaurus over here, have three simon. So therefore, now we have a concept called, which the Gemara itself is going to bring up soon, called Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad Ein Melamdin, that when you have two psukim or more that teach us exactly the same din, then it applies only to them, nothing else. So therefore, if you have the same din taught in two different contexts, or in two different mitzvahs or whatever, then it means it only applies to them and nothing else. We don't make a binyan av from it. Because if it was meant to make a binyan av, then it would have mentioned it only by one of them and we would have learned from it to the other. Unless we have a reason to say that there's a difference between one and the other. The Gemara is going to actually bring that point up soon in a different context, but I mean also in context of birds, but in a different point. Anyway, Tosfos says like this. The Gemara could have answered at this point that what it is like this. When Rav Chiya says, Oifa bab simen echad tahor, he doesn't mean any bird that has only one simen tara. What we mean is, first of all, okay, Rav Chiya is definitely talking about, I should have mentioned, Rashi says, we have to know that's not one of the 24 mentioned in the Torah. Rav Chiya is talking about like this. If you have a bird that you've never, if you have a bird that you're trying to figure out whether it's kosher or not, you know for a fact that it's not one of the 24 listed in the Torah. However, you know that. You have the Kabbalah, what the 24 are, for example, the identity, the modern, the day identity of them. So you know it's not one of these. and therefore it has only one simon, then it would be kosher. You're arguing, why don't you learn from the ones that have three simonim, and you still say they're trace, and say, therefore, just because this one has one or two or three, it should still be trace. So before we get to the answer from Orev, Tosfos says, the Gemara could have answered like this. Look, the fact that you have 19 of them that are listed over there that have three simone tara, that means the Torah is effectively repeating the same point 19 times. So only those 19 that have three simone tara are trace, implying anything else that has less than that is kosher.
One second. Do we have other birds that have three simone that are not listed?
That's the question, Mr. Nashi and Tosfos. Do you have only 24 that are listed in the Torah, or could there be other ones as well that once we have the entire list in the Torah, then we derive from them, right? Anyway, Tosfos says the Gemara gives a better answer, basically, which is that in Cain, Odev, Dekos, Rachman, Alamali, if you're going to tell me that we were going to learn from the ones that have three simonim, then the Torah would have had no reason to list the Odev, which only has two simonim, Tara. You would make a Kavach Homer. If you can't eat the ones that have three, which is 19 or 20 out of the 24, how much more so you can't eat the Odev? The fact that the Torah lists the Odev
as
a tray for bird implies, therefore, that it's not just a matter of that it has to have three simonim. It has two. It has two. What are the two? You have a machlokas who's showing him what exactly the two are. And actually, it's interesting, before we might as well talk about, Tosfos talked about later on in the sugya, what is the identity of the Urev? B'chalal, we have to realize, I mentioned already about the Nesher, but... Okay. B'chalal, a lot of the birds that we're going to be talking about in the sugya, the identity of them is the subject of big machlokas among the Rishonim. We already talked about the Nesher, that it's not necessarily is it the eagle, it seems to be some type of vulture. The Orev, you have another question, Tosfos brings up later on, and other Rishonim also talk about. The Gemara is telling us over here that it has two simonim, but one of them, the Gemara describes later, is that kukavonin niklof, that is, its gizzard can be peeled. So the Rivon mentions in Tosfos that he dissected an Orev. The usual translation of Orev is a crow. It's a crow or a raven. So he says he dissected one and found that the kukavonin couldn't be peeled.
Is it a crow or a raven?
Same thing. They're pretty much two different names for the same bird.
Really?
Hold on. But anyway, so Tosfos discusses over there that is the Orev in fact the crow or not? It seems to not work out with what we know. So Tosfos says that actually yes. Yeah, so what it is that you have based on the Gemara later and based on when we actually dissect a crow, we find that it has three of the simonim and the Gemara is telling us it has only two. So it doesn't work. On the other hand, it's interesting that I'm not Kukavan Nikolov. Sorry, actually the question is whether it has a zephyr. And it's interesting because the Ramban says that he repeated the experiment with a crow that he caught and found that it doesn't have a zephyr. So what is it? A machlokas and metzius between the Rivam and the Ramban. So one possibility, Sifra Kula mentions, is what exactly do we define as a zephyr? A zephyr is a pouch A zephyr is a pouch. It's someplace along the esophagus. Now the thing is, one thing is that in some birds you have the esophagus widens at some point, but it's not necessarily a true zephyr, as in the food doesn't really spend any extra time in there. You have also, for that matter, you have, for example, birds that eat grain or seeds or whatever have the zephyr serves a function. It softens the food before eventually it goes down into the gizzard and gets ground up and digested. Whereas in crows, not necessarily, even if it has a zephyr, it's not necessarily used for the same purpose because they're meat eaters. So they don't need it to be softened up in there for a while. So in that sense, it may not be a zephyr. So it could be. It's not a machlokas in the tzius between the Ramban and the Rivan, but rather that they had different understandings of what the zephyr, of what's considered a zephyr and what isn't. But besides that, all that you have, and they also in Sichas Kol, he talks about the possibility, and Tosfos also actually talks about, there may be a couple of different birds that are, there may be a couple of different birds that are possible candidates for the Orvid. You have the crow or raven or whatever, but you also have a kind of bird that Tosfos later on in the sugya calls kavon, or kvan or something like that, whatever is the old French name for it. In English it's called a jackdaw. So that fits more of the characteristics that we're talking about over here in the Gemara about the Orev. So maybe that's the actual Orev, and the other ones are from the Orev family, because the Gemara mentions later on Eskol Orev Lamino, that the Orev has subspecies. So maybe the jackdaw is the real Orev, and the other ones are subspecies.
Isn't that the real reason of the Torah then, that it has to give us the list?
that's the point. In other words, so in the times of the charter, they knew exactly what an ovid was, and they knew what luminehu and whatever. But nowadays, we're not so sure.
Okay.
By the way, Agoris Maimonides on the Rambam and Machalos HaSuras brings in this connection that when the Rivam was learning the sugya and trying to figure out what exactly is the ovid, one of these kavan birds, one of these jackals, actually came and landed right there on a stender, and he had it right there, able to kill it and examine it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, onward. So the point is like this, the Gemara is saying. If you were going to think that, again, you're talking about, you have a bird over here which you know is not one of the 24. It has one simen, Rav Chiya tells us, therefore you're allowed to eat it. You would think to say, maybe not. The fact that the Torah lists other birds that have even three simoni Torah, and you're still not allowed to eat them, maybe that implies that unless this bird has all four simoni Torah, you can't eat it. The answer is then it wouldn't have had to list Oriv, because you'd have to cover Chomer. Because he would say, Im Kain Oriv de Kosev Rahman Alamavi. Why would the Torah bother mentioning the Oriv, the raven or the crow or the jackal or whatever it is, in the list of non-kosher birds? You would make a Kavach Chomer. Hashta the Islay plus the Loyachlin. And Madach, you're not allowed to eat the ones that have three Simone Tara. The Islay Trey Mibaya. How much more so you can't eat the Oriv that has two, that has only two. So the fact that we don't do that, the fact that the Torah had to list the Oriv, means that you, means that Kavach Chomer is not, means that that's not valid. So the question is, okay, in that case, then why don't we learn from the Oriv? Mahos and Treloi, I call Treloi, say the same thing. An Oriv has two Simone Torah, which is established. So then in that case, then you should say any
two.
No, the point is, we should say, so then the minimum number that you need is two. You should say the minimum number you need. No, what we would say is like this. You would say that any bird that has two Simone Torah and two Simone Torah is not kosher. Whereas Rav Chiya is telling us that no, even if it has three of the four Simone Torah and only one Simon Torah, you're allowed to eat it as long as you know it's not one of the 24. Why don't we learn from the Oriv? The answer is, Im Kein Peres V'Oznia D'Kos Rachman Olamali. Then you would have to go back a step. After the Nesher, the next two that are listed in the first Pasuk over there, the non-kosher birds, are the Peres and the Oznia. Again, what Peres and Oznia are is a little uncertain. You have various possibilities. It's a bearded vulture, or it's a bird called an ossifrage because it breaks bones to get the marrow at them, or whatever.
If we learn from the raven that it has two
then we would say that if a bird has two and two, then it's no good. But if it has, but that if two and two, it's no good. But the question is, so and yet we're not saying that because Rav Chiya is telling us that not only two and two is good, but if it's not one of the 24, but even three tumah and one tara is good. Why aren't we learning from the Oriv? The answer is because then the Torah wouldn't have had to mention Peres and Oznia, where the Peres and the Oznia each have only one sin in Tumah. You would say like this, Hashe de Islay Trey Layachlinan, Madach, that you can't eat the Oriv, which has two Simone Torah, the Islay Chad Miboya, how much more so you can't eat ones that have only one. So then there would have been no reason to list the Peres and the Oznia, which have only one. So therefore, in other words, that teaches us that the Peres and the Oznia, which have only one Simon Tara, they have three Simone Torah, we're saying only those you can't eat, but any other bird that has three Simone Torah and one Simon Tara, you could eat. So the question is, why? The question is, enigma of Peres or Oznia. The question is, why don't we learn from Peres and Oznia and say that the question is, what you would say is like this. You would learn from the Peres and the Oznia. You're not allowed to eat them. But, well, the question, no, the thing is, Imke Nesher, not the raven, but the Imke Nesher, because of Rahman Alamabi. Then you wouldn't have to list the Nesher, which has zero Simone Torah. Remember, the raven has two. That's the thing. Okay, the raven has two Simone Torah. The Peres and the Oznia, the Peres and the Oznia have one, have three, have one. Okay, one second. What it is like this. The Peres and the Oznia have, the Peres and the Oznia have one, let me rephrase it. The Peres and the Oznia partly because of this, you have different explanations of the Rishonim and the Sugya, and we'll get to that soon. But the point is, so you have like this. The Peres and the Oznia have only one simon, and yet we're saying they're not kosher. So why aren't we learning from those? Why don't we say, just like the Peres and the Oznia have only one simon, tumah, and yet they're tumah, they have three simon tara and one simon tumah, then they're no good. So we should learn from them, any other bird that has one simon tara is no good. The answer is Im Kein Nesher to Kasa Rachman Alam, not the Erev. Then it wouldn't have had to list the Nesher. The Erev is better than them because it has two Simone Tara.
Right.
But the Nesher has zero. So therefore, you would have all four Simone Tuma. So then, if we were learning from the Peres and the Alznia and saying, in general, any bird that has one Simon Tara is no good, then you don't need the Nesher. Exactly. For that matter, Tosfos points out, also, it's another one of these snakes. Well, the Gemara is going to ask soon, actually, it's snakes of my boy in Pechad, so we'll get to that. We'll get back to that soon. But anyway, okay, fine. Okay, so like this. So the question is, because again, you would say, Hashtag the Isle Chab Leachlinen, if you're not even allowed to eat the Peres and the Osnia, which have only one Simen Tuma, and yet you're not allowed to eat it, the less like Klal Mabaya, how much more so if it has zero, so then it wouldn't have had to list the Nesher.
Less like Klal Mabaya, zero.
Maybe it has zero, yeah.
Why do we need it?
Then mean, why would we need it? The fact that it lists the Nesher and the Peres and the Osnia means that we're not learning from the Peres and the Osnia to other birds.
So
okay.
Why do we list it?
Well, one second, that's what we're going to do though. Okay, so the question is, Ellen, so therefore, obviously what it must be, Ellen Nesher, Delesle, Klau, Hu, Delay, Sechel, so only the Nesher, which has zero, are you not allowed to eat, or anything like it, Ha, De Islay Chad, Achoil. Apparently then, this is what Rabkhiya was telling us, that if you have a bird that has one simen, and it's not in the list, then you're allowed to eat it. That was Rabkhiya's point, that you're allowed to eat a bird that has one simen, and with an exception of Peres and Ozniyah, because they're on the list. So the question is, okay, so what are you telling me? You just told me like this. The only reason that we're saying not to learn from Peres and Osnia is because we have the Nesher there. And therefore, if we were going to learn from Peres and Osnia, and any bird that has one Simen Tara is no good, then we wouldn't need Nesher. And what if we didn't have Nesher? And if you didn't have Nesher listed there, have Amin Alaylach from Peres and Osnia, you're going to say you would have learned from Peres and Osnia? How could you do that? Have a like Peres v'Osnia Shnei Suma Boim Ka'achad. Again, we're back to this thing of Shnei Suma Boim Ka'achad. The Torah would have only had to list one of them, and we would have known the other one from it. The fact that it lists both of them means that rule applies only to those two and no others. So therefore, that's it. For that reason alone, we know we can't learn from them. And so even if we didn't have Nesher, even if the Torah just mentioned Peres and Osnia, automatically we would know that only those two that have one simen are not allowed to eat.
But
okay, you have a concept called a binyan ad, which is the Torah tells us one thing, we can deduce other similar things from it. But you also have a concept called shnei ksuma b'ayim ka'achad, which is that if the Torah tells you the same thing twice in different contexts or with different examples or whatever, then it means it applies only to those. Because if it meant to apply to everything, then it would have said only one of them and we would deduce everything else from it. So if it only said Peres by itself, you would say, okay, you would think to learn from Peres, everything. So any other bird that has only one Simen Tara, that has one Simen Tara is no good. It has to have more than that. It has to have two, like the raven, or three, like whatever. And then we would need Nesher to tell us otherwise. We would need Nesher to tell us otherwise, that only one that has zero is completely off limits. Whether it's, if it has one, then it depends. So that's the thing. So if we had Peres, then we're saying, if we had Peres, then we're saying we would need Nesher. If we had Osnia only, we would need Nesher, because otherwise we would make a binyan av. If you have Peres and Osnia, automatically we know there's no binyan av, because Shnei Ksuma Boim Tachad. So why do we need Nesher then?
And if we had Peres only, then we would have
then you would need Nesher. You would have still thought to make a binyan av, and Nesher would tell you not to. And the same thing when it comes to Osnia.
Right.
But if you have Peres and Osnia, you already don't need Nesher, because you have no, yeah, that's the point. That's the question. Have like Peres and Osnia Shnei Ksuma Boim Ka'achad. Peres and Osnia are two psukim that are teaching us the same thing. Shnei Ksuma Boim Ka'achad Ein Melamdin. Two psukim that teach us the same thing. You don't learn from them to anything else.
Exactly.
So automatically, that's apparently at this point. The Gemara is assuming that they're both the same. They both have one Simen Tara. And the Gemara is assuming the Pashtus that it's the same one. And the answer is no. It doesn't work because like this. It's not Shnei Ksuma Boim Ka'achad because Gemiri, we have the Kabbalah that it's true that the Peres and the Osnia each have one Simen Tara, but it's not the same one. The Peres has one of the four Simone Tara. The Osnia has a different one of the four Simone Tara. So if you only had one of them listed, you wouldn't know that you wouldn't generalize from them to say that any bird that has one, you would say any bird that has that particular Simen Tara is off limits. Like this, when you have the Peres and the Osnia together, so it's not Shnei Ksuma Boim Ka'achad, because each one of them is teaching us about a different Simen Tara. And then the point is, we would think to make a binyan av from that to anything else, that at least other birds that have one or the other of those Simone Tara would be no good. Therefore, we need Nesher to tell us that no. Nesho teaches us that only if it has zero simone tara is it completely off limits. Once it's one simon tara, only the peres and the osnia, nothing else. That's the point. That's why we need a nesher. It's not shnei suma boim ta'achad, but it is blocked by nesher.
So
it's not the same simon in each one.
So if you had, let's say the osnia, that has one simon that is only.
Yes.
So you could exclude the nesher.
So then you would think, then you would need nesher to tell us don't learn from the osnia to everything else. And the same thing if you had only the peres. Once we have the peres and the osnia, the question is why would we think to learn from them to anything else? And the answer is because the peres and the osnia themselves are different. They're not shnei ksuvim aboyim ta'achad because one has one simon tara and the other one has a different one. So therefore, we would have learned from them to every other case where something has one simon, were it not for nesher, which has zero simon. That's the point. Okay, so the question is, mechti askeda, let's still consider. How does this work? After all, there are 24 non-kosher birds listed over there. Inevitably, you're going to have some of them, inevitably you're going to have simonim that you have in one bird that aren't in the other one.
Exactly.
And therefore, ultimately, somewhere in that list of 24 birds, you have most of them have three simone tara.
Yeah.
What are you going to have? Inevitably, you're going to have that one of the simone tara, of the simone tara is going to be the same as the peres. And the other and another one that's the same simon tara that you have in the osnia is going to be lacking in one of the simon tara that you have in the peres is going to be lacking in one of the other 20 birds in the list, and the one that's in the osnia is also lacking in the other one. So therefore, nevertheless, you still have shnei ksuvim aboyim ta'achad. So again, we're still back to the question: why do we need nesher? Automatically, from the other list of birds, from the 23 other birds, starting with peres and osnia, we would say therefore the peres has three simone tara, it has one simon truma, but there are other birds on that list that don't have that simon truma and yet are not kosher, and similarly with the osnia. So therefore, that would be shnei ksuvim aboyim ta'achad, and therefore that would teach us to limit it only to that list. Why do I need the nesher to tell us that the basic rule is only if it has zero of them? The answer is like this: gmiri, because we have the Kabbalah like this. As far as these 24 birds, gmiri means we have a Kabbalah. Moshe Gemara. Esrim v'arba ofis tmein. It's like this: there are indeed 24 non-kosher birds. That'll list it over there. But our bar simonim, we also have the Kabbalah that there are four simonim. Now, how are those simonim distributed among the birds? Tlosa hadri b'kulu, there are 20 simonim that circle around among all of them. In other words, you have 20 out of these 24 birds have three of the simonim, but with different ones, it's different simonim. Some of them it'll be the three simonim of Zephek and Kurkavon and Doris, and some of them it'll be Kurkavon and Doris, there's Kurkavon, Doris, and Esfi Yisera, and some of them, whatever, you'll have all kinds of different combinations among them. Estrimahem Shlosha Shlosha, so 20 of them have three simonim each, three simonitara, Utrei Ba'orev, the Orev has two and two. The peres and osnia, the second and third ones on the list, each have one, which of that one, the ise baha, lese baha, and among those two, the peres and osnia are different from each other because each one has a different simon tara. So now, based on all of that, so it's not really shnei ksuvim aboyim ta'achad. The bottom line is when you go through the entire list over here, you would think that you're going to have inevitably in that list over there you don't know what's the one simon that all of them share in common or don't share in common.
You don't know.
So Rashi actually uses the expression d'holo yodu ma'iniu ha'isimana d'ichtav l'chode l'melech mineh. We don't know what that simon is, that it's not written by itself, that we should learn from it. So you would think, therefore, that we should generalize from that, make a binyan av from that, that any bird that has one or two or three simonim should be also, even if it's not on this list. So therefore, Kosa Rachmana Nesher. Therefore, the Torah starts off the list with Nesher to teach us Nesher de less like Klal Hud Leitechu. Only the Nesher which has zero simonim is completely off limits, and anything else that's like it is also off limits. Implying that if there are other birds, implying that that other birds that have at least one simon Torah, you're allowed to eat them as long as they're not on the list. If we didn't have Nesher, we would still think that there are some birds outside of the list that have one simon that would be also. The fact that we have Nesher at the head of the list, that's what we learn the binyan out from, that only birds that have zero simonim are definitely off limits. Anything that has at least one simon could be mutter, as long as it's not on the list.
As long as it's not on the list.
If it's on the list, it's not kosher anyway, because the Torah tells it. The list is the list. They're the ones that are listed in the Pesukim over there. Yeah, there's a Peres, Salznia, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Okay. I mean, you have this is Rashi's explanation of the sugya. Rishonim have a number of problems with it. Among other things, the Lashon of the Gemara is a little repetitive to say that there are three simonim that circulate around them, and three of them have 20 of them have three each. That, and you have a Tosfos over here brings up a bunch of other problems with Rashi's explanation.
The Torah didn't give us a list of kosher.
The Gemara is going to say later on because there's a much longer list of kosher birds. Because there's many more kosher birds than non-kosher ones, so the Torah gives us a shorter list.
It's a lesson on how to teach your students.
Right. But anyway, the point is, the point is, though, that you have a number of the Rishonim bring from Rabbeinu Moshe Rav Yosef that he has a somewhat different explanation of the Gemara over here. And it's interesting, this Rabbi Moshe Rav Yosef, he was one of the Chachmei Provincia in his time. He was one of the, in southern France, yeah, he was one of the great Talmidei Chachamim of his time. He taught the Ravid, among others, he taught the Baal Amor, among others. But, you have this famous expression, I call Toli B'mazel, like a little Sefer Torah Shebehechol, that even the Sefer Torah and the Hechol needs mazel when it's going to be lain or not. This is, I think, an example of that in Jewish history, that this Rav Moshe Rav Yosef was famous in his time, for some time after, and the Baal Amor occasionally quotes him, whatever, but where do people nowadays, where do Lev de Torah nowadays hear of him, is in our sugya specifically, where he has a different explanation of our Gemara over here. He explains it exactly the other way around. 20 of these birds, not that they have three simone Torah, 20 of them have three simone Tumah. So most of the list is Simone Tumah, right?
So
he's a Rishon. No, he's a Rishon. I mean, he's contemporary with the Baalei HaTosfos, I guess. It's not Tosfos is quoting him. I'm saying other Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, everybody else quotes him. He was in Provincia. It was a place of its own.
I
didn't say he's quoted in Tosfos. I said Tosfos has a lot of problems with Rashi's explanation and give a whole explanation of their own. But I'm saying that you have Rishonim, they go through Rashi's and Tosfos' explanation, and then they mention Rav Moshe Rav Yosef's explanation, and they say his explanation seems to really be the clearest and the best of all of them. I don't know that we have a lot of writings from him. Apparently, I don't think we do. We have he's quoted by his Talmidim, such as the Ravid and the Baal Amor.
The Ravid was on
the Talmidim, that's what I just said.
And the
Baal Amor was also Rabbi Zrachi HaLevi. He wrote an important note on the Ravid. Yeah. The Baal Amor is very famous. Yeah. Okay, anyway, let's go on.
Did you know who he was, though?
I don't know anyone. If I just know the name of the state,
yeah, I know the Baal Amor, but that's fine.
Right.
So then the question... He lives in Provincia, we're talking about, yeah.
The Ravid also
lived in Provincia. Yeah, in most of his life, yeah. Okay.
And then how did he know the Rambam?
He did by correspondence.
He went to Spain, right?
No, he didn't, not that I know.
The Ravid stayed
in Provincia, as far as I know.
They just fought from a distance.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on. Okay.
So the biggest brains were in France, actually.
It depends how you define the biggest brains. Whatever, let's go on. There's a reason why the Chachmei Provincia are famous in Jewish history, but yeah.
What's the reason?
Because they had a lot of Chachamim over there. Let's go on. Tosfos is mostly in the north of France. They knew about the Baalei HaTosfos, but yeah. Okay, let's go on. All right. It's nice to have a little bit of history, but we also can't get bogged down in it. We first have Gemara to learn.
Maybe we should do another
shiur. That's another question. Right now, let's continue learning. Okay, you know the famous expression. You know, you know the famous expression that it actually goes back to one of the early Maskilim that said we're more interested in what Rashi said than in the color of his clothing.
Okay.
So the bottom line is the Gemara says that it's not Shnei Ksuv Maborim Te'echad, and actually we would have learned from the other 23, seeing as how they all have at least one Siman Torah. Because each one has a different set of them, and some of them have only one, such as the Peres and the Oznia, and that's why we need Nesher to tell us that only the Nesher is completely off limits. And anything that's like the Nesher in having zero simonim, anything else that has at least one simon depends whether it's on the list. If it's on the list, then at least one simon can be kosher as long as it's not on the list.
And the Nesher we need it.
The Chug, that's the only one that has zero. And therefore, that teaches us that if it has zero Simone Tara, then automatically it's straight.
But from there, you cannot...
But therefore, we say that if it has at least one, but if we have at least one, then it's not like the Nesher, therefore it can be kosher. That's the point. Okay. So the question is, Ella Turin to Kosser Rahman Alamali. Okay, after all said and done then, why did the Turin? You mentioned Turin in that case. We started at the beginning of the Sugya by saying that we needed Nesher, which teaches us that a Nesher has zero simonim. We said, on the other hand, Turin have four. Now that we established that a bird doesn't have to be like Turin in order to be kosher, why do we need Turin? B'chlal? Now, okay, we're showing him asking, I mean, what kind of... Turim have all four Simoni Tara.
Are they the only ones?
No, that's an example. But we said any other bird that has four. Now, Rishonim asked, what do you mean? What kind of question is that? Why you need to say Turim? It needs to say Turim. The Gemara is actually going to answer to tell us that they're kosher for Korbanos. So Tosfos gives an answer. Tosfos gives an answer on Amud Aleph, so what it means is because that Turim mentioned many times in the Torah, so at least one of them can be extra to teach us this din. Okay, so the question is, Ela Turim the Kotzer Rachman Alamali. So why does the Torah mention Turim if we're not learning from them anyway? The reason is Amar Abuk Racham Abuk Carbon. Very simple. We need to teach us that Turim are kosher for a carbon and not anything else other than Bnei Yonah. So before, in other words, when Rashi says the Tana of the Braisa mentioned Turim before, it's not that we're actually learning from the Turim, because mainly we're learning from Nesher, which has zero of the four simanim. The Tana was using it as a simon. You should know, this will help you remember, what are the Simone Tara and Simone Tuma? Look at the differences between a Nesher and Turin, and you'll realize what the differences are. But we actually only learn from Nesher.
Because Turin is
really for Korban. If a person is familiar with the Peres and the Oznia, or Bishmei Sehen, and with other birds and with their names, meaning he knows what birds are under the category of Peres and Oznia, and now he has another bird that has one simen. We just said before that the Peres and the Oznia have only one simen. And we'll say, so as long as a person knows what is a Peres and what is an Oznia, so that he knows that this bird in front of him is not one of them, then Oichabob is Simon Echab Tahar. Then, like Rav Chiya said before, if he has another bird that has one Simon, then it's Tahar, because he knows already that it's not a Peres, and he knows it's not an Oznia. As opposed
to,
then Oichabob is Simon Echab Tahar. But Loi Hayabaki Behen of Shmei Sehen, but if he's not familiar with the Peres and the Oznia and the various birds that are called by those names, then the simon echad tami b'shnei simon in tahar. Then he can't eat any bird that has only one simon, because that bird might be a peres or osnia, or a subspecies of peres and osnia, and he doesn't know them.
The Gemara is starting a cloud here.
Yeah, b'shnei simon in tahar. But this person will be able to eat any bird that he finds that has two simonim, because then automatically it's not a peres and osnia. V'hu sheyakir olev, provided that he recognizes that it's not a raven. But the raven is the only one that has two. We just said the Peres and the Oznia have only one.
Now let's say the Simonim are making it Tame.
We have Simone Tuma and Simone Tara.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is, what we said before is the Peres and the Oznia have one Simon Tuma, the Orev has two, and all the other ones have three. Or three Simone Tuma, or according to the Moshe Rabbi Yosef, the other way around. Most of them have three Simone Tara. But whatever, the point is that the Peres and the Oznia, so if you have one simon over here, then one simon tumor or tara, depending on the different explanation.
Then it must be kosher.
That, as long as you know, it's not a Peres and a Oznia.
So one simon that identifies it as being a tame animal.
That will depend whether you follow Rashi's or...
Like the,
yeah.
The opposing sum.
Let's say, for example, yeah.
Okay, so if you have an opposing sum,
okay, well, first
that means it's kosher?
Okay, again, you have two ways of explaining the sugya over here.
Right.
You have one way of explaining the sugya that we've been saying that the Peres and the Osnia have the least number of simone tahara. They have the greatest number of simone tuma. The Orev is exactly balanced, and all the other ones have a greater number of simone tahara. Or we could say the other way around, that most of them have a greater number of simone tuma. The Orev is 2 and 2, and the Peres and the Osnia have the least number of simone tuma. They have only one.
That's according to which opinion, the second one that you said?
So the second one, that the Peres and the Osnia have the fewest simone tuma, that is the explanation of Rashi, if I understand it correctly.
Okay.
That the Peres and Osnia have 3 out of the 4 simone tahara. They have only 1 simon tuma.
So they have 1 simon tuma. So if you see.
So now, if you have one bird that has 1 simon tuma, and you are familiar with the Peres and Osnia, so you know it's not them, then you're good.
Because
the Peres and Osnia have only 1 simon tuma. This bird that you found also has 1 simon tuma, but you know it's not a Peres and Osnia because you know what a Peres is and you know what an Osnia is.
So
then
the
other
explanation that you quoted out makes.
Then it would be the other way around. It means that it has 1 simon tahara.
There's 4 simonim.
There's 4 simonim, right. So each one.
Those two birds, we know that they have one.
They have 1 simon of tuma or tahara, depending how you explain it, right.
Oh, so they could, according to Rashi, they would only have 1 simon of making it tame and the rest making it pure.
Right.
According to
the Moshe Rabbi Yosef, it's the other way around.
There
are 3 simonim. Tomei and only one that makes it. Same idea. In other words, the simon echad means that it has 1 simon of. It means that it has 1 simon of being tahor. So then it could be a Peres and Osnia, but because he knows that a Peres and Osnia, what they are, and he knows this isn't it, then we're good.
But
yes or no. Loi haya baki behind him. So if a person is not familiar with the Peres and Osnia, and the Gemara mentions later on in the sugya. And the Peres and Osnia are birds that don't live in civilized areas. They only live out in the middle of nowhere, so therefore not necessarily is everybody familiar with them. So if a person is not familiar enough with them, then the simon echad tomei, if he finds a bird with 1 simon, then it's still possibly tomei, because it might be a Peres or an Osnia, b'shnei simonim tahor, but if it has 2 simonim, then we're good, over vadshi rahushi yaki olev, as long as he recognizes that it's not an olev. This question,
yes.
Which has 2 simonim, we said before.
Shema.
2 simonim tuma and 2 simonim tahara, right. So the question is, Orev Metula, you're telling me the only thing he would have to know is that is the only one he has to know that it's not is an Orev? Well, Tanya, but we learn in a Braith. So there's other birds that are tame along with the Orev as well. Orev, the Orev, the word Orev in the Pasuk means the bird that we nowadays in the time of Anoim called Orev. Well, again, it could be a raven or it could be a jackdaw or whatever, but the point is, in those times it was clear. Laminoi, what is it? What the Pasuk says, Eskal Orev Laminoi. So Laminoi means according to its species, meaning that there are subspecies that are also called Orev. So what does that mean? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Lahaviyat HaZarzir. Rabbi Eliezer says it comes to also include a Zarzir. Rashi translates it by a word that means a starling in English.
Very different from an Orev.
But nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer argues that it is similar enough to be included under Laminoi. In fact, you have Gemara mentions in various places, for example, in Rav Kama, the Gemara mentions that the Zarzir tends to hang around with the Orev. Lo lachinam holach Zarzir eitzel Orev. The reason why the Zarzir and the Orev tend to hang around together is because they're both related. Is because they're both related species. They're related, and therefore, Rabbi Eliezer. Let me see. So here's a couple of them. Common starling and rosy starling.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're very, very different from another.
That may be, but nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer says it's included. Omru loyal Rabbi Eliezer, so they asked Rabbi Eliezer, what are you telling me that those are not kosher birds? Didn't the people of Kfar Tmauta in Yehuda, didn't they used to eat these birds, because they have a simon tahara, they have a zefek. And Rashi says, we said before that an Orev has 2 simone tahara and 2 simone tuma, and one of the ones that the Orev does not have is the Orev does not have a zephyr. So therefore, if these birds had a zephyr, then the people of Kfar Tmauta figured, okay, it's not in the same species in the Orev. So it's true. In other words, Rashi says, the Zarzu actually has 2 simonim. However, one of the simonim that's good that it has is that it has a zephyr, which is different than an Orev. So it has only two. But the people of Parchamarta figured in that case, look, the only kind that it has two simonim and is not kosher is the Erev.
Right.
Good. This one is obviously not an Erev because an Erev doesn't have a Zephek and this one does. Therefore it must be kosher. Here's what Tosfos gets into the whole discussion over here, that again, that the Rivan dissected an Erev and found that it does have an Espe Yisera and a Zephek, so therefore he wanted to learn differently about the Simonim, what an Erev has and doesn't have, versus what these people of Kfar Tamarita were doing. So again, you have that whole discussion between the Rivan and between the Ramban, whether an Erev has a Zephek or not. Anyway, the point is, because it depends what the shape of it is, it depends what the function of it is, whatever it is. On the lamb, and Rabbi Eliezer tells the Chachamim who said that, you know what? They were wrong in that. You want to know, those people of Kfar Tamarta eventually are going to be brought to justice in front of the Beis Din Shamayla because they're eating not kosher birds.
Because
it doesn't have a zephek, therefore it's not part of the species of Erev, and therefore it's kosher, or because it has a zephek, rather. Rabbi Eliezer is saying, absolutely not. It's still in the mean of Erev, and therefore it's also. The point is,
so he doesn't believe that an Erev.
So he holds, in other words, Rashi explains the reason why Rabbi Eliezer says it's considered l'minoy of the Erev is because it hangs around it. The fact that the Zarzir and the Erev hang around together show that they're considered part of the same min. So even if one has a Zephek and one doesn't, Rabbi Eliezer holds they're still considered the same min. They're flocked together, yeah.
Does that mean Rabbi Eliezer doesn't believe in simonim altogether?
No, that's not what we're saying. Again, these birds don't have all four simonim tara. If they did, there would be nothing to talk about.
He says two means. One means
he says
two different types
yes,
of simonim.
That's, yeah, he's saying that. Fine, he could be saying that. Again, that's all according to Rashi's explanation,
right.
that the Erev has no zephyr. According to the Rivam, that an Erev does have a zephyr, so therefore he explains the sugya differently. But anyway, the point is, okay, a dover achar, another, the reason why we're bringing this in is to show that it's not only the Erev, there's other birds that also have two simonim and yet are also, like this zarzu that we're talking about. And another example, dover achar, laminehu lahavi snunis, laminoi actually, lahavi snunis labona, the word laminoi or laminehu, also by that it says by the Erev, also comes to include the white snunis. A snunis actually translates over here by a word that a French word that means a swallow. So here's a picture of it.
Swallow's not a French word, as far as I know.
I didn't say it was. It actually translates it with the word arundilla, which is in modern French, it's hirondelle or something like that, which is a swallow.
And he says what?
And he says, so, Dover Acher, Laminoi, Lahavi Snunis, Lavana. That the word Laminoi, Ace Kol Odev Laminoi, that not only the Odev is also, but also something else, that includes the Snunis Lavana, the white swallow. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Again, this is what Rabbi Eliezer says. Omruloi, so the Chachamim said, how could you say it's a Trefa bird? Vale Anche Golala Elion Ochlemoise, Mipnesha Kokovani Nikla. Don't the people of the upper Galil eat such birds? And they assume it's kosher because its gizzard can be peeled, so therefore, again, it's not the same simen, it's not the same species as an Erev.
Beautiful bird.
Okay. Amalahem, and again, he says to them, Achen, Asidin, Listen, Asadin. Again, Rabbi Eliezer says, you know what, they're going to end up having to give account of themselves in front of the base in Shamayla.
Because
he says it's a species of Erev. The point being, in other words, the point of all this discussion is that we see that you have other birds besides Erev, raven or jackdaw or whatever you want to translate on, that are considered subspecies of Erev, such as the Zarzir and the Snunis Labana, that you're still not allowed to eat. So how can Rav Nachman be telling us that if you have a bird that has two simonim and you recognize it's not an Erev, then you're good? How do you know? It might be a Snunis Labana, it might be a Zarzir. The answer is, Ela, Erev v'chol min Erev. You're right. When Rav Nachman says, as long as you know it's not an Erev, he means an Erev or anything in that category. In other words, yes, it would mean Rav Nachman would be saying, as long as you know that this bird that has two simonim is not an Erev and not a Zarzir and not a Snunis Lavana, then you're good. Okay. Amar Amemar. So Amemar says in this connection, Hilchasa, the bottom line halacha, if you have a bird that has one simen, even if you're not familiar with what is a peres in Osnia, tar, that bird is tar. Rukhiyah hadn't specified, but yes. Vuhu deloy doris, as long as this bird that you found is not a doris. As long as it's not a doris. then automatically, if you have, as long as we don't see that it's dirtus, then one simon is enough. Amalei Rav Ashi Lamemer, Hadar Rav Nachman Nais. Rav Ashi says, Lamemer, what are you doing with Rav Nachman's thing that he said before, that you need to know it's not a kereson or an aznia? Amalei, so Rav Amemer answers, Lo Shmieli. I haven't heard of it, by which he means, as we learned the other day, Kolomeloi Sviroli, meaning to say, I don't agree with what Rav Nachman says. It doesn't matter whether you know what a kereson or an aznia is. Why? My ikra, because what would be the concern? Why would you say that if you have a bird with only one simen, you're not allowed to eat it? You're saying because Mishum Peres Vaznia, you're worried about it might be a Peres, it might be an Aznia, and therefore you have a problem. Doesn't matter. Less new will be issue. Such birds, the Peres and the Aznia, do not live in settled areas. So if you're living in a settled area and you find a bird that has one simen, automatically says Amemo, you know it's not a Peres or an Aznia.
Right. It's inconsequential to mention the Peres and Aznia
because they don't live in places where So again, there's a few possibilities. What they are, the one possibility is that one is that they're various types of vultures, a bearded vulture or an ossifrage or whatever. There's a few different possible translations, but whatever it is, they don't live in civilized areas where human beings live, and therefore you don't have to worry that you found a bird and it could be one of them.
So you can know that.
You actually have a discussion among the Rishonim about the question: does that apply only in the times of the Gemara? Maybe, for example, now in the times of the Rishonim, when they live in Europe, maybe we do have Peres and Aznia among them. So some of the Rishonim say, yeah, when we say that they're not found by Yishuv, we mean in places where people commonly lived in those days. But now that we live in those places, maybe, yeah. Other Rishonim counter, I think the Meiri says, for example, no, what it means is they always stay away from people. Okay, well, it depends how you translate them. You have to realize throughout the Sugya that the fact of the matter is we don't know the identities of most of these birds.
Yeah.
There's very few, if any, of the birds that we are talking about in our sugya and that I mentioned in the Torah over here that we know what they are.
Is there even one?
But
maybe,
one.
I don't know.
But
yeah,
that says you don't have to know.
Okay, a Maimar is saying that you don't have to worry about that. Okay, but the point is, you're saying as a given, well, yeah, obviously they don't live among you. You don't know what a Peres is. You don't know what an Aznia is.
So you know it's not a chicken.
No. Forget Rabbi Markham. A Maimar says, okay, but the question is, does a Maimar mean that in their times, when they're living in Eretz Yisrael and Babel, they don't have Peres and Aznia among them, but a Maimar is not talking about 1,000 years later when Jews are living in France and Germany and Poland or what have you? Or, it depends what...
It doesn't make sense to say in one period you have to know and one period you don't have to know.
Amemar might have been talking about what is available and what is in Yishuv in his times versus later. Some Rishonim understand it that way. Other Rishonim counter that by Yishuv means in general where people settle. So it all depends. It doesn't necessarily make sense one understanding more than the other. They're both opinions of the Rishonim. They're both understandings of the Rishonim on our sugya. Does Amema mean the Yishuv in the places where we live now, or does it mean throughout history, wherever people live, you never find a Peres or an Aznia? That's how it is. By the way, in this whole discussion over here, we've been mentioning the Peres and the Aznia only have one simen. The Rambam actually writes that they have two, which leads the Mefarshim on the Rambam to deal with how is the Rambam understanding our Gemara. So, for example, the Lacha Mishnah over there has a long discussion about it. He says actually what it is that the Rambam may have understood that the simonim we're talking about, three or two or one or whatever, we're talking about simonim that you can see on the goof of the bird. Kukavani Niklach, Zefek, Efi Yisera, those are all things you can dissect the bird afterwards and find did it have any one or another of these, as opposed to dirtus is something the bird does or doesn't do while it's alive. So that's not a simon the goof. So therefore, when the Rambam says two simonim, he may mean that number one, they're not dirtus, and number two, that number one, they're not dirtus, and number two, they have one of the simonim on the body. Okay.
Look at the
lesson.
Wow, brilliant.
Okay. Let's go on. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda. In this connection, since we mentioned Snunis Levana, Rabbi Yehuda says, Oif Hamisareit, a bird that scratches, kosher lataras hamisareit. Such a bird is kosher to use for the Tara of a Mitzvah. We know the Torah tells us at the beginning of Parashas Mitzvah that a Mitzvah, you have the whole process of making him Tahor using two birds and Ezov and Eitz Erez and Telas Shani and water over there. The Torah mentions over there that you should take Shtei Tziporim, Chayas Tahoris, So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that this Oifa Masaret, this bird that scratches, is the tzipor that the Torah is talking about. And that's how Rashi explains. You have some other Rishonim who explain Rabbi Yehuda doesn't mean it has to be dafka that one. It means that that's an acceptable species for that purpose. The Zuis, Snunas Labana, Shanachal Kubar Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim. That bird, this Oifa Masaret, as a matter of fact, is the same Snunas Labana that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing about. That Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's today, and the Chachamim are saying it's kosher. So according to the Chachamim, that it's kosher, that would be the bird to use for Taras and the Torah. We shech one of them and you dip the other one in the blood of it.
The one you showed us on the phone?
The one that I showed you just now. The swallow, yeah. However, one second. Why it's called Oifa Masaret, by the way, one possibility is because it's not a tameable bird, so therefore when you try to catch it, it scratches you. It could also mean it has an extra sharp beak. It could also be, Steinsaltz mentions an interesting possibility, that it's a type of bird that spends more time flying than on the ground. So like its talons stay fairly sharp, as opposed to usually ones that, birds that run around on the ground, their nails after a while get sort of filed down. Anyway.
Seeing on the ground, but
that's the point. It spends most of the time flying, and therefore it's nails stay sharp. No, Rapashas not. Yeah, Rapashas. Omer Amemer, so Amemer says in this connection, B'chivra Kresa, when you're talking about the type of bird, the type of snunis that has a white belly, Kula Amale Pligi Deshau, yeah, everybody, B'chivra Kresa, if belly is white, in other words, we're going to say there's a few different types of snunis. The ones that have a white belly, yes, they go, yes, they go. The ones that have a white belly, kula alma le pligi de shaya, everybody would agree, even Rabbi Eliezer, that it's mutter. Even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that's not something in the category of olive. But do you...
That's a swallow, I think that's a white belly.
Okay, well, there's different kinds of swallows, but yeah. Ki pligi bediyu ruk kresa. The machloikus would be the ones that have a green or yellow. Remember that yorek has a few different possible meanings, but the one that has a yorek stomach, belly. Rabbi Eliezer also rabbanon shoru. That would be the kind that Rabbi Eliezer says is trace, and the chachamim says kosher. The hilchasak Rabbi Eliezer, and the halacha in that would be like Rabbi Eliezer, that the ones that have a green or yellow belly are also.
And
the ones that have a white belly would be mutter.
So the swallow
that has a white belly would be mutter. Mazutra masni hachi. Mazutra learns the machloikas a little differently, but the other way around. But the yeruka creates the kolamalit ligadaser. The one with a yellow or green belly, everybody agrees is also. Ki pligi but the chivra creates. So the machloikas is the one that has a white belly. Rabbi Eliezer also verabanan shoru. Rabbi Eliezer would be saying the one that has a white belly is also. The Rabbanan would say it's mutter, but Hilchasak Rabbanan Desharu, and according to Marzutra, the Halacha is like the Chachamim who say it's mutter. So it comes out, Marzutra and Amema come out saying the same thing on Halacha. They're just different ways of reaching that point. So the question is, Vishleim Elamander Amma Bechibra Kreisa Pligi, according to Amemar, who's according to Marzutra, rather, who says they're arguing about the one with white bellies, okay, then that explains why the Braita said that this is the Snunis Lavana. That this is the Snunis Lavana. That in other words, to say that there is a Snunis Lavana, which Rabbi Eliezer is saying is author along with the Oren. But if you say they're only arguing, like Amema says, if you say they're only arguing with the one with a yellow belly, my Zui Snunis Lavana. Why is it saying this is the Snunis Lavana? They're not arguing about the Snunis Lavana. According to Amema, both of them agree it's mutter. The answer is La'apuchi de Basi de Uchmasi. The answer is you could say that the Braisa that says Zuhi means as opposed to the ones that live in houses which are dark in color, which are dark or black in color, those are a different kind which everybody would agree is kosher. So in other words, according to Amema, we're saying the ones with yellow bellies, everybody agrees with Osir. The ones with white bellies, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are arguing. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the only kind that's kosher, when he says Zuhi Snunis Labana, implying that there's some other kind that's kosher, that would be the kind that are completely black or brown or whatever and don't have a different colored belly at all.
La Puki,
to exclude the Basi, the ones that live in houses, the Uchmasi, which are brown or dark in color. So in other words, according to Amemo, you would say you have the ones that are all dark are mutter according to anybody. The ones that have a white belly are also according to Rabbi Eliezer and mutter according to the Chachamim. And the ones that have a yellow belly are also for both of them.
The ones
that's Amemo.
That,
that are completely black would be, or not completely black, whatever, brown, whatever, would be mutter according to everybody. The ones that have a yellow belly, this is our Neymar's version of the Machlokes, would be also, the ones that have a white belly would be also according to Rabbi Yezer, mutter according to the Chachamim. The ones that have a yellow belly would be also according to both of them. That's a Neymar's version. Omer Rach v'Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Tassil, a bird, they call a Tassil, Possel, Meshum Torin, Bekosher, Meshum Bnei Yona. It is a kosher bird. It's some type of dove. So if you want to bring it as a korban, you can't bring it as torin, then it's no good. But the kosher mishum bnei yona, you could bring it as a bnei yona, you could bring it as a young one, and it would be kosher. On the other hand, daf sifi, which is a type of turin, a type of turtle doves, the turin shall rachva, and also turtle doves of rachva, that's their name, ksherin, those such birds are kosher, mishum turin of psulim mishum bnei yona. Those two types that we just mentioned are kosher as subspecies of turin, meaning you can only bring them as adults, they'd be possible as bnei yona, because they're in the species of turin rather than the species of bnei yona.
Rachva is a town?
Maybe it's a town, maybe it could be. So, in other words, what we're saying is there are just like there are subspecies among the non-kosher birds, so there are subspecies among the kosher birds. And among Bnei Yona, you have a subspecies called, among Yona, among regular doves, you have a subspecies called Tassil. And among Turin, the ones that can be brought only as adults, turtle doves is the usual translation of them, you have types that are called Daf Sifi and Turin Shalrachva, which are subspecies of Turin and can also be brought as Korbanos. Okay.
That's the only one among Turin that can be brought in Korbanos? No.
Regular common Turin, as well as these two subspecies that have the name of Daf Sifi and the name of Turin Shalrachva, are also kosher.
As Korbanos,
though, specifically. Only as mature individuals, not as babies. Mosiv Rav Daniel Bar Chachina, however, Rav Daniel Bar Chachina asks on this, how can you tell me that the tassil is considered a type of dove, and therefore it can be brought as a korban just like a dove could? A Mishnah says, Kola Oifus Poslin Mechatas, all birds, if they drink from Mechatas, from water that's used for paradrom ashes, they tassel it if they drink from it. Because most
in general.
So Rashi explains like this. Now there can be two reasons why mechatas could become possible. One thing is, which we've touched on a number of times, including in our Masechta, is if malacha was done with it. If the water was used to do some malacha, then it becomes possible for paradom water. The other possibility is if some other liquid gets mixed in here. So Rashi says most birds, when they drink, what they do is they take a beak full of water, then they lift up their beak from the water, and water dribbles out the sides of their beak and go in and falls back into the water. So therefore, Rashi learns that it would be considered that malacha was done with this water, therefore it would be possible.
When it falls,
with the water that falls back in there, now it gets mixed up with the other water. So now you have malacha was done with this water. Yes. Tosfos disagrees. Some other Rishonim disagree with that. They say not necessarily. Is it that? Malacha, it can't be considered malacha for a bird to drink from it. They say rather that the problem is that when water drips out of the bird's beak, you have some of its saliva goes along with it. So you have other liquid mixed in there, and therefore it passes it. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. All birds would do that. Chutz min ha'yona, except for doves. If they drink from the water, it's kosher. Mifnesha, it might set it, because the dove sucks up the water into its beak. So therefore, no malacha was done with the rest, and no malacha was done with the rest, and nothing to upset. Now, v'im isa. Now, if you're going to tell me that a tassil is considered a type of dove. Listening chutz miyona v'tassil, then the Mishnah should have mentioned a yona and a tassil are exceptions. The answer is Amar Abzera, because a tassel would in fact make the water possible. There motzitz umeki, there motzitz for any meki. A tassel, yes, it drinks like a yona does, in that it sucks up the water. But then some water falls, it lets some of the water back out of its mouth, back into the water. So therefore, according to Rashi, you have the problem of malacha, and according to everybody else, you have the problem of saliva mixed in over there. Or no, actually, Rashi also says, malacha, it's not a problem. No, actually, Rashi does give both explanations. That, yeah, it's because you have saliva mixed in, or yeah. as opposed to Bezem Motsa Tvenim. Right. Bezem Motsa Tvenim Meki, only a regular Yonah sucks up and doesn't let anything go back down. So therefore, the Mishnah couldn't have mentioned a tassel because a tassel would in fact tassel it, but in terms of korbanos, a tassel is kosher. Steinsaltz mentions actually that there's a there is a type of dove, there is a subspecies of dove that drinks water differently than other ones. Maybe that's the tassel of Argomara. However, the species that he mentions is native only to a couple of islands in the Pacific. So if we're talking about the one, then maybe he says, okay, you know, they don't live naturally. You know, it's true. Maybe somebody brought it there as a pet, and therefore the Gemara knew about it. Okay.
Because he
mentions the species. I looked it up and I found that's native only to like Samoa and Tonga and that area. Okay. All right. Onward. He doesn't say for sure that that's the tassel, but it's a possibility. All right. Onward. Omer of Yehuda. Hani kufshoni. Here's another example of subspecies of birds. Hani kufshoni tsutsyoni. These kufshoni, which are torin, which is the Aramaic word for torin, tsutsyoni, which come from a place called tsutsyon, kshedim lagabi mizbeach, they are kosher to be brought as korbanos on the mizbeach. The hein torin shorachla, that is the same. We just mentioned at the bottom of Amar Aleph, we mentioned torin shorachla are kosher. The torin shorachla are what we call nowadays, in Rabbi Yehuda's time, they call kufshoni tsutsyoni. Some of the Mephoshim also learn that tsutsyoni can also be that they're called that because of the type of call that they make, because of the type of twitter, the type of tweeting, whatever that they do. So yeah, anyway. The Gemara says, Nepli, I have a contradiction. How can you use kufshoni tsutsyoni as korbanos? Like this, you have a braisa, a mishnah actually, that mentions, so again, when it comes to being matahar or metzora, and a number of other purposes in the Torah, we know you have to use ezov. And so when it says you have to use ezov, means veloy ezov yavon, you're not allowed to use Greek ezov, veloy ezov kuchali, and not ezov kuchali. It's sometimes some subspecies of ezov that grows in Greece, the
Pashtus. It's only the one that grows in Greece?
No. You have different, just like you have different subspecies of birds, you have different subspecies of herbs. Okay. There's a type of herb that is called ezov. The usual English translation of it is hyssop, which would be like oregano or something. But based on the way that Rambam describes it, it seems to be something more like marjoram or something, or whatever. You have a number of different related plants over there. The point is, the Mishnah is telling us that you can only use the one that's called plain azov. You cannot use the one that's called in their times azov yavon, but that's just because it was native to Greece. Veloy azov kuchali, you're not allowed to use Azev Kuchali, which on the side of here brings two possibilities of what that means. Either, again, that Kuchali is the name of a place where it came from, or that's the Rambam's explanation. The Oruch's explanation is that it has a bluish color. Kuchal means blue. Veloy Azev Roimi, not Roman Azev. Veloy Midbari, or not desert Azev. Veloy Kol Azev Sheeshla Shem Levi, or any other plant that's called Azev something. So the same thing, the Torah is telling us you can bring Totem as a korban. That should mean only Totem, not Tutsyoni Totem. So how can you use tsutsyoni torim as torim bnei rachva, torim shor rachva? How can you use them as a korban when they're called torim of something? It should be the same. There should be the same rule. I saw, by the way, a cute vert on this from a tzaddik of Lublin. He says about the ezer. He says about these four types of ezer that are off limits. He says we know b'chla when the Torah tells us to use ezer, it's meant to be that the person should feel humbled. For example, in the case of the Metzoret, he was feeling about Gaiva, that's why he said Lashon Hara about people, so the Torah warns him that he has to humble himself from now on. So the point is, but you have a few different types of postular humility. You have the Ezev Yavon, he says, which is Yavon is always associated with Chochmah of Lomas there. So like the person is, the person figures, you know, how am I going to go about getting what I want from this person? I have to appear in front of him as humble, otherwise he's not going to do what I want. That's not the valid kind. Ezev Kuchli would be like eyeshadow, which is called koichel, like he puts on an act of being, humble.
Why? What's that?
Because koichel is an eye, is like an eyeshadow. It's a paint that people would put on their eyes. So therefore, it represents like he's putting on an act. Yeah, fake. Ezev Roimi would be like he feels like he's a Balgaiva like the Romans, like only in front of important people should I be humbling myself. I shouldn't be humbling myself in front of lesser people. It's beneath my dignity. That's also out. Volimidbari. And also not the kind where like a person is a midbar, he has no good qualities at all. So of course he's humble because he has nothing to be, nothing else but to be humble. All of those are not what the Torah is asking for when it wants Azov.
Who says that?
A Rhapsodic of Lublin, that was in one of his phones. Okay. I don't remember which one. Maybe I don't. Anyway. Okay, so the point is, getting back to the Gemara, so the same thing as Ezov, you can only use plain Ezov, not any that have any of these subnames. Mm-hmm. Same thing should be as far as Torim. Why can you use the Torim Sharakla? The answer is, Omer Abaye, it's like this. Kol Shenishtana, it depends when the new name came about. Kol Shenishtana Shmoi Kodem Matan Torah, when the name was changed before Matan Torah, such as Ezov, where all these different subspecies of Ezov had names even before the Torah was given, the Pida Torah Olav, and the Torah is Makbid, every time it says Ezov, it never says some other type of Ezov. Yeshlo Shem Levi Fossil. Then if it has a secondary name, it's Fossil. Bahani, but when it comes to these Torin, Lonish, Shtanu, Shman, Kodim, Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, these Kufshani, Tsutsioni, these Torin, Sharakla, didn't have a different name. They were called just plain Torin. Later on, people decided to distinguish them from plain Torin and gave them a new name. But that's already after the Torah was given, so therefore it was okay. Rava Amar, Rava says, you don't need that answer. A different answer is Hani, Kufshani, Tsutsioni. It's true. They may have been called that before Matan Torah, but Ba'asraihu, but in the place where they're native to, Samakari Lahu, in the place where these Kofshani Tsutsioni are native to, people just call them plain Torin. So the fact that in other places people call them, Torin Sharakla doesn't change their status, because at least some place they're called plain Torin. As opposed to the various types of Ezov, even in Greece, for example, they call it Ezov Yavon. Even in Rome, they call it Ezov Roimi, etc.
So the Ezov we have not here, let's say, in America.
So whatever kind of Ezov we have. I mean, again, depends what it is. Is the true Ezov supposed to be oregano, or is it supposed to be marjoram, or is it supposed to be whatever? So you have to figure that out. But the point is, again, you have a number of different similar plants. You have thyme and sage and this and that and the other. So that's the point. None of those are usable as Ezov.
What we call Ezov is...
We don't. I mean, what are we? Who's we? I mean, when we learn Chumash, we learn Ezov, it's some type of grass. We don't, I'm saying the usual English translation of it is Hyssop, which would be oregano. But is that correct, Bob Johnson? Okay. Omer of Yehuda. Hani Karzi Debe Chilfi, these Karzi that live among the weeds, Shoru, they are mutter to eat. Or the Karbi Asiri, the ones that live among the cabbages, though, are also. Now, what are Karzi? Rashi says we're talking about locusts. Tosha says, locusts? We're in the middle of talking about birds over here. Why are we all of a sudden switching to locusts? Well, okay, fine, but still, locusts we're going to deal with later on in the parish. So in fact, okay, you have some of the Acharonim say, okay, because the Gemara mentions something over Rav Yehuda, so it mentions another din of his. But the Tosfos themselves says that these Karzi are tiny little birds. They're, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, they're ones that live among the cabbages. Omer Ravina, Omer Kinnan Alayu, Mishum Sheretz Oif. Ravina says, if a person eats the ones that live among the cabbages, then he can actually get malchus for eating Sheretz Oif. You're not allowed to eat flying insects other than the locusts that are mutter in the Torah. So that's the thing. Tosfos says, we're talking about very small birds over here that just crawl around on the ground, but they also fly. The point is, in other words, Tosfos says, even though they may have the simone tara, but because they're so little and they walk so close to the ground, therefore they would be considered sheretz ha'oif and they would be also. As opposed to the ones that live among the weeds are a little larger, or they're different, they're mutter. V'omer of Yehuda, so now Rabbi Yehuda says, so now the Gemara is going to get into a couple of different kinds of birds. We have to distinguish between different types of birds, some of which are mutter and some of which are osir. The names the Gemara is using for them, again, we don't really know to a large extent what they refer to, but I'll show you actually. I'll show you. Steinsaltz has in his Gemara, he has from an Israeli fellow who made a study of it and claims to have identified a bunch of them.
Well, we'll see.
Hold on, because the Gemara gives a certain simon. Then there's a fellow named Yisrael Aharoni who's done a study of this. Anyway, let's go on. But Omer of Yehuda, Sarda Shori Barda Osir. The type of bird named Sarda is Mutati, but the type called Barda is Osir. In other words, they're not necessarily related birds. The point is that they have very similar sounding names, so Rabbi Yehuda is telling us to keep in mind one is Osir and one is Mutter. One is Mutter, one is Osir. The Simonach, your way to remember which one is Osir, which one is Mutter, think of the expression Bar Mine, outside of it, or outside of us. In other words, remember that the Barda is kept outside of and away from us because it's Osir. Marda, Seika. On the other hand, you have a third bird that has also a similar name called Marda. That one is a suffix, whether it's mutter. And in that connection, Amravati, Shmoina Seika, saying there are actually eight types of birds that we have a suffix on, which the Gemara is going to explain in a second what the source of the suffix is, and they are called Chuba, Chuga, Suga, Vahanuga, Tushlami, Umoda, Kuchilna, or Barnafa. Those are the eight. Those are the names of the eight of them in Aramaic. So this Israeli zoologist. Eight birds. This Israeli zoologist claims that he's been able to identify a few of them based on the simmons. Like I was going to say about it in a second. Three of them are type of bird called quake. Another one is a water rail. Another one is a purple swamp hen. Whatever. You can see pictures of them here if you want. One bird looks much the same as another to me, but whatever.
Okay, no, they don't. The beaks are different. The heads are different.
Whatever. unless you're a bird watcher, you're a bird watcher, these pictures aren't necessarily going to mean much to you. But okay. My sekai. So, what is the actual suffix? Why do they have the simone tahara or not? The suffix is like this: oifus tahorim kukavon and nikwas. The tahor birds, we know that one of the simone tahara is that their kukavon, that their gizzard can be peeled.
Right.
But Tnein and Kukavan and Nikwas. The Tomei birds can't, because like we said before, they don't need such muscular stomachs because they eat softer food like meat and fish. The Hani, these eight birds that we just listed, Kukavan and Nikwas the Sakina. You can peel their Kukavan, but only with a knife. You can't do it by hand. So that's the thing. This Professor Aharoni actually checked out some of these birds and found that some of them you can only peel with a knife in. The question is, Vaha, but what are you telling me that if you can peel it only with a knife, then you have a suffix? Vaha hahi bar avza, but you have a goose, which a goose is definitely a kosher bird, to have a bay marshmul, which was in the household of marshmul, deloy have a kamikla kukavon, they couldn't peel its kukavon. The oisle the shimsha, so they put the kukavon out in the sun, the kivin de rossi, and after a while it became soft, iklip, and then they could peel it. So you see that just because you have a hard time peeling it doesn't necessarily mean it's not it yet. The answer is Hasam ki rafi ikus biyada. Yeah, but the difference is there, once it's softened, you could peel it by hand. Hacha afagab de rafi, the afagab de rafi, with these eight birds that we mentioned, even after they're softened by putting them out in the sun, loy miklef elab skin. Even so, you can only peel them, even then you can only peel them with a knife. So therefore, that's the suffix. Okay. More on this. I'm going to buy a kind of girl. That's it. It's the suffix. Amar Abaye, Tana Gerla de Agma Chad Mishmoina Sveikasu. The Tana Gerla de Agma, that's the name of a type of bird, is one of these eight Sveikas. Vahainu Maudu. We had on the list one of them was Mauda or Maudu. That is, the you should know, the Maudu is what we call in our place Tana Gerla de Agma.
What's the Maudu?
And as we just said, we had a list of eight, but one of them was Mauda or Maudu. So that's, again, it's, well, you know, you have possibilities. What it is, do we know for sure? We don't know for sure, but yeah. But Abaye is telling us in our language and in our part of the world, we call it Tanagurla D'Agma. So Amr Apopper, the Popper says in this connection, Tanagurla D'Agma Asira, Tanagurla Ta D'Agma Sharia. The Tanagurla, Agma means a meadow or a swamp. So the Tanagurla, the chicken of the swamp, but Tanagurla, the male of D'Agma Asira, Tanagurla Ta D'Agma Sharia. But the Tanagurla Ta, the female of the Agma, is Mutter. So what does that mean? Tosfos talks briefly over here, and then Tosfos talks in much more detail to the Gemara about this in Nida, where Rashi explains over there that what it means is literally you have the same species, the males of it are kosher, the females of it are also. Tosfos disagrees with that over there. Tosfos discusses the possibility. Because the fact is, the Gemara says Tanagurla and Tanagurla Ta. No, but the Tosfos discusses, could that be? And maybe. I mean, it is true, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that kosher and non-kosher species can't interbreed, but maybe that refers only to animals. Maybe it doesn't refer to birds. Because with birds, you could argue that essentially it lays an egg, and later on you have a chick comes out of it. The chick is already like a whole new material. So it's like, you know, as opposed to a baby that comes live out of the womb, that's different. But the difference is because it came as a fully developed creature out of the womb, as opposed to an egg. You have in between the mother and the baby, you have the egg. So therefore, the Tosfos brings up that point over there. Tosfos ends up saying, though, that they disagree with Rashi. We're not talking about the male and female of the same species. We mean two different species, which happen to have, one of them happens to have a male name and the other happens to have a female name. different. We're showing him talk about given identification of them in the language of their time. It comes out in English. It's two different types of grouse, wood grouse and some other kind. Whatever. The simonach. Now, Rav Papa says, "What's your simon? How do you remember which one is which? Which one is kosher? Which one is not? The kind of goyla versus the kind of goyta." How do you remember? Think of the expression. Think of the halacha, amoni, v'lo amonis, that only a male amoni who becomes a ger is not allowed to marry into the Jewish people, but a female, a woman from amoni is. The same way, that'll help you remember. Amoni, so it's the other way around. Here was the amoni, v'lo amonis, the amoni, but not the amonis. There it means that it's also, the amoni is also, the amonis is mutter, but the point is, the fact that you have the expression, v'lo amonis, helps you remember over here the same thing. The time of girl, ta, the one of the female name, is loy, is off limits. Another one, Dorash Maremer. So Maremer one time gave a Dorasha. Town of Gil to Da'agma Asira. The town of Gil to Da'agma is Osir, as we just said. Sorry. Town of Gil Lo Da'agma Asira. The male, the one with the male name is also, the one with the female name is Mutter. So no, Amoni by Amoni. It's exactly that. The same thing. As the Amoni is not allowed to intermarry, and the Amoni is, yeah. So Dorash Marema, Tana Gil Da'agma Asir. On the other hand, Marema said the female one is Asir. Why? Chazua the Daris of Achla, because the people saw, the Chachamim saw that it does Doris. That it does Doris. Behind Girusa, and therefore it's the same as the bird, which is also called in Aramaic. Girusa, where later on in our Masechta, we say that Girusa is known to be a non-kosher bird.
What did they take that Doris was, we had a Mishnah saying that.
The Mishnah told us, so that was one of the four Simonim. We said before that Doris is one of the four Simonim. I forgot to mention when we said before that a bird with one simon is mutter, and we said, okay, maybe you don't even need to know that it's not a Peres and Osnia because there is not living in civilization. Tosfos brings over here from Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Rambam also mentions it, that we have a Kabbalah from the Gaonim that only works if that one simon that you find is at Kukavoni Niklas. But if you find the one simon is a Zepik or an Espe Yaseira, doesn't work. Right.
Oh, that's important.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, with that said, Rashi says, now that we're getting to the end of the sugya about the birds, Rashi mentions that first of all, so we see over here that you had a bird that they assumed to be mutter, and now Maremer is telling us it's also because they saw it's dirt. On that basis, we have, and the fact of the matter is we don't know the identities of the birds that are mentioned in the Torah or in the Gemara. The bottom line is, therefore, you can only eat a bird with a masorah. But if you don't have a masorah on a bird, then you have to be choshesh. It might turn out... We have a masorah on, we have the common ones that we have a masorah on, it's just chicken. You have, there's actually a sefer that was published in the 1830s in Italy, where it's called Zivchei Koyen, where he has in the back of it a picture, he had an artist draw a picture of a couple of dozen birds that the Italian communities there had a masorah or mutter. They include a couple of different kinds of grouse, peacocks, a number of other game birds that are less commonly eaten nowadays, but that according to the Masada of those communities were kosher.
We can rely on that Masada?
The Jews whose ancestors are from Italy definitely can. Whether people from other places can or can't, that's a bit of a
muck.
We don't know
who's ancestors are from Italy or not.
It's not that far long. 1830 is not that long ago. But the point remains, you have a discussion among the poskim, can one community use the Masada of another community? Maybe not. Okay. Anyway, the bottom line is we need a Masada. How we're able to eat turkey, we talked about briefly before. We'll talk about that another time, Be'ez Hashem, but yeah.
Okay. Which ones do we have a Masada on?
So we have a few of them. You have chicken, you have a couple of different kinds of quail and pigeons and whatever. I don't know what else. That's it. Okay. Now, Rishonim bring up an interesting ducks also. That's true, ducks, geese, yeah. In fact, actually, the Baal HaMor mentions an interesting thing, which is brought in Shulchan Aruch. If you have a bird that has a wide beak, like a duck does, a round, wide, rounded beak, and webbed feet, then you know for sure it's not a dirtus, and therefore it would be mutter. So it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, again, you really need a masorah. If it has webbed feet, then it's not a dirt. Then you're automatically saying, then that's good enough. That's the one simon that can be mutter. Anything that's webbed and it has a rounded beak, then you know it's not dirtus. So for example, geese and ducks and whatever. The Baal HaMor says this. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, you still have the concept of Inyan Masorah, but that's a factor, that's something that can factor in as well. Mm-hmm. Anyway, interesting point that McCorsham bring up. If we're saying over here that they used to eat this kind of girl to Dagma, and now all of a sudden we're finding out it's Dirtus, so what does that mean? All that time the Chachamim were eating it? What happened to Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takol Al-Yudetzadikim, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takol Al-Yudetzadikim? So there's a couple of different answers, including that maybe the Chachamim themselves didn't eat it. They passed it in for other people as Mutter, but Hashem himself didn't. Because they thought up until that point it wasn't Dirtus, so therefore they were master it, because we said before, trying to girl to Dagma is Mutter, and now that they found it's Dirtus, and they have to change that. But in other words, all that time, it could be the Chachamim had never actually eaten it. So therefore, what Tosfos says earlier in the Masechta, when we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takol Al-Yudeim, means that Hashem arranges it, Ashkocha Prothis, that they don't end up themselves eating Tereka food. That's not the same thing necessarily as them allowing other people to. That's one possibility. And another possibility they bring up is even Maremer is not saying that they're complete, that Midar Raita that they were also all this time. Now that we see one specimen of it that was Zerdus, we have to be Choshesh, maybe they are, and therefore we should make a Gzeira on it, but not necessarily that would have been also all this time. In fact, an interesting thing in that connection, you know, it says before the Mabul, right, that the Tihishchit Kolbasa was Dafri Al-Ores, that even the animals were interbreeding, which is also, so what is it? Because the animal kingdom follows what people are doing. If people are acting corruptly, then eventually it ends up affecting the animal kingdom as well. So therefore, it could be that in the times of Marema, maybe people are not acting properly, therefore the birds also start changing their nature and becoming Dorsim when normally they wouldn't have been. They talk about, for example, you know, sometimes you'll have people talk about, you know, is it natural to have for people to have attraction to others of the same gender, you know, and they talk about, well, yeah, in the animal kingdom you see it all the time, so obviously it must be natural. You do actually. The zoologists have seen same-sex relationships among various, but part of the answer might be, if people are doing that kind of thing, then animals end up doing it as well. Doesn't mean that, yeah.
Animals wouldn't see that.
Not necessarily that they see, but the fact that people are acting in a certain way has an effect on the moral climate of the world. Okay. Anyway, let's finish up over here. Okay. Amar Rav, so Rav says here's some other ones that you could easily mix up, and you have to keep track of. Shabur Andrafta, Shori Pirud Andrafta Oster. The bird that's called Shabur Andrafta is mutter to eat. The kind, I don't know. In the Sansino Gemara, in one of the notes, they bring from somebody who claims that it's some kind of parrot. Andropata, I mean, like speaks like a person. So maybe. Pirus andrafta oster, where the bird that has a similar name called Pirus andrafta is oster to eat. With Simonach and Yosimin, how do you remember which one is which? Remember Pirus Rashia, the Rosh of Pirus. So Rashi says there was a person in those times, a known Rosha, who was called Pirus, so that'll help you remember that. Reb Shira Gaon mentions in his Igeres that there was actually a Persian king named Pirus towards the end of the time of the Amoraim, who was a Rosha and caused anti-Semitic pogroms and other such things, so maybe the Gemara is referring to him. Anyway.
Paris is also a Greek name.
No, not Paris. Pyrrhus. Peros. Peros. P-E-R-O-Z. To this very day, actually, it's a common Persian name. Mm-hmm. Another one. Amar Rav Huna. Bunya Shori Parva Osu. The bird called Bunya is mutter to eat. The one that's called Parva is also to eat. The Simonach, and the way to remember that Parva is also, remember Parva Amgusha. Parva the magician. Rashi explains, as the Gemara brings in Yoma, that there was a chamber in the Beth Mikdash called Lushkas Beis HaParva that he built it. I think Rashi or Tosfos brings over there a Medrash or something that he one time wanted to watch the Kohen Gadol doing the Avodah on Yom Kippur, so he dug a tunnel under the Beth Mikdash, and then they caught him at this particular place and killed him, and later on they built the chamber there and called it Beis HaParva. The point is that Parva was a magician, and magic is also to us Jews, so therefore that helps you remember that the bird called Parva is also.
What is it? We don't know.
And we don't know anything. I'm going to pop a Maudu Zogid Ba'achal Shari, the type of bird called a Maudu, it's called Maudu, which stands up straight and eats, that kind of mutter. Zogid Ba'achal Osir, the kind that bends down, bows down in order to eat, is Osir, the Simonach. And the way to remember is, like the Torah says, like the Shtach V'lekeilacha, don't bow to another god. So therefore, that helps you remember that the bird that bows down and is called by because of that, Zogid Ba'achal, is Osir. Omashmul, Shasya Chamra Asira, the bird called Shasya Chamra, which literally means that it drinks wine, is also the Simonach. And the way to remember it, Shriyayim, Solma Avoda, Koyin would drink wine, also to do the Avoda. So the same thing, the bird that's called the wine drinker is also tea.
Which one is that?
We don't know. But Omashmul, Mazga Chamra Asira, the bird that's called Mazga Chamra, which literally means the wine mixer, is also. Bas Mazga Chamra Shaya, but the bird that's called Bas Mazga Chamra is Mutter. V'simonach, and the way to remember that is the expression Yofa Kayach Ben V'Kayach Av. The power of the son is better than the power of the father. So the same thing, the Bach is mutter, whereas the Mazga Chamra herself is also. Again, it's not, we're not talking parents and children. We're talking about those are the two different names for the species. And another one, Omer of Yehuda, Shekitna. When it comes to a bird called a Shekitna, one possibility is that it may be a flamingo. It brings over here a possibility that it might be a flamingo. Arichi shaki the subki, the kind that has long legs and a red body, shalya is mutter. The simonach, and the way to remember that is murzima, is remember that it's like the murzima, which as Rashi says, a bird that they had in those times, the common bird around there, which had the same kind of thing. It had the same basic body shape, long legs and a red body, and it was known to be mutter. So the same thing with shakitna, which is similar, is also mutter. Gutzi v'sumki asiri, but the ones that have short legs and a red body are osir. V'simonach, and the way to remember that is the expression nanus posel. That's a koyan who's extra short is posel to do the avodah. So the same thing, this bird that has shorter legs. Yeah, we haven't talked about it yet, but we'll learn it in Bechor's position.
How short?
Well, we'll learn then. Maybe it's much shorter than average. I don't know, two standard deviations below the normal. We'll learn about it then. Arichi shaki viruki asiri, and a third kind that has long legs but a yellowish or greenish body is also asir v'simonach, and the simon to remember that yurukin tefillin. We learned earlier in our parak that if you have the inner organs of a bird that turn green when they were supposed to be red are asir because the bird was damaged by the fire. So the same thing over here. This bird that has a green body, even though it has long legs, is asir. Yeah, so again, what all these birds are, you have a lot of different possibilities, and therefore the bottom line is, as Rashi says, we only eat birds when we have a mesarot on them.
But the chef will know.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. As a matter of fact, actually, I mean, earlier in our sugya over here, also when we were talking about what the one simon is or the two simonim that birds have, Rashi actually kind of seems to contradict himself in a number of places. What are the two simonim? What are the one simon of a peres and osnia, and what are the two simonim of an orev? So one possibility is indeed that Rashi himself wasn't quite sure what the
day. Did he contradict himself?
Yeah, different places in Rashi's perushim in this whole sugya where he contradicts himself on what the one simon is of certain birds and the two simonim of certain birds and whatever. So therefore, it could be that by Rashi's times, and Rashi's revision, by his, you know, he's living 700 years after the Gemara is written, by his times, a lot of the details of these things may not have been lost. Yeah.